paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Welcome to the Career Vision Podcast, where we talk to professionals about what they do, where they started, and everything in between. I'm Michael Piff, and the Career Vision Podcast is brought to you by none other than Career Vision, who is helping young people find their career paths, and professionals that are looking for a career change. They use aptitude tests to find your strengths and an interest inventory survey to find out what kind of job you would enjoy doing. I took these tests myself, and I'm happy to report I think I'm in the right place. So you can learn more at careervision.org. And for episode 4 of the Career Vision Podcast, I have joining me today NBC Chicago sports reporter and anchor, this is really cool to say, Casey Standahar. How are you doing?
Michael Piff, thank you. How are you doing? I'm doing well.
I am so good, and I'm so happy to get to talk to you here in this place.
Yes.
We go back, I want to say 8 years, maybe?
At least. Yeah.
Being able to watch your career journey from afar has been a blast for me. So to get to kind of share some of that story with our listeners here who would be interested in what you do and maybe want to do what you do, I think is going to be really cool.
Absolutely. Well, it's crazy to think about, like, I knew you from like the beginning when I first moved here.
Oh my gosh.
And I didn't really know anybody. Like, I met you and you were there from the start.
Well, it was I mean, we'll get into more of this
right
later, but I remember you reaching out and just kind of like saying, and I'm sure you were just trying to find to see, you know, who would be up for, you know, talking about Chicago,
yeah,
you know, sports meet and everything. And you were like, hey, would love to talk to you about mm-hmm. this. And that was a really cool way to get started in that. But the way we start all of our Career Vision Podcast episodes is giving a shout out to your high school. So you have to start with a shout out to your high school.
Okay. Shout out Girard High School in Girard, Ohio.
Girard, Ohio.
We were the Girard Indians.
Okay.
Yes.
What are they still the Girard Indians?
They are. And I know that, I don't know if that's politically correct.
No, that's
anymore.
Okay. I mean, there's a handful that still are. I was curious about that.
You know, they changed a lot of the logos. Now they have like the Georgia G.
Okay.
Instead of,
nice,
you know, things that maybe we needed to get rid of. And I love it. And so, yeah, we have the Ohio State fight song and the Georgia G as the logo. So shout out Girard.
Very cool. What were you like in high school?
I was kind of similar to how I am now. I was a cheerleader, a dancer, always into performing arts and performing and kind of like being on stage. And I feel like that has manifested itself into my career now. In a way, it's kind of like you're on stage, you're performing,
yes,
you know, like anchoring, reporting. It's sort of like that.
Did you have an idea of what you wanted to do while you're in high school?
You know, I think in high school I wanted to be a teacher and follow my mom's footsteps.
Oh,
my
cool.
mother was a special education teacher for 30 years. Mm-hmm. And she kind of said, I don't know if you're going to love doing that. You know, she kind of steered me away from that. And I knew I liked writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I went into college, I was like, okay, I'll be an English major or a journalism major. And I'll write for like Teen Vogue or the Chicago Tribune. Like,
yeah,
I wanted to be like a writer. And then it wasn't until I had an internship at a local station in Ohio, an NBC affiliate,
oh,
actually.
What was the station?
WFMJ.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at WFMJ. I also interned at WKBN. So I was kind of all over the place there. And it wasn't until I did the TV, like, internship that mm-hmm. I really was like, oh, this is cool.
What kind of internship was it?
It was a web and production internship. So I was
okay.
doing website writing, posting things onto the website,
yeah,
make sure I was editing video correctly. And then it was also producing. And so they trained
wow.
me to be a morning show producer. So for a couple years, I produced the 5 to 7 a.m. WFMJ
Holy
morning
cow.
Show.
That is a lot of on-the-job learning.
It was.
Right there.
It was.
Where did you go to college?
I went to Youngstown State
Youngstown
University.
State.
Shout
okay.
out Penguins.
All right. So was that, I guess, where did it kind of click during that internship mm-hmm. where you're like, this is what I want to pursue here?
Seeing, I mean, I still love writing, and I do think the crux of any good reporter is good writing. So
yes.
I don't want to say like lose that skill, because I think it's really important, but seeing how you could turn long form stories into short, digestible,
mm-hmm.
informative, compelling, quick news stories was cool to me. And I watched, her name was Leslie Barrett. I don't think she still works there anymore, but she was the 6 p.m. nightly anchor. And I was like, I want to be her. You know, I was like, she's so cool and she's so good at her job. And I think for a really long time, I wanted to be in just news. Mm-hmm. And that kind of wore on me a little bit. I think news could be depressing at times.
Oh, it's pretty heavy. Yeah.
Yes, as you know. And so I kind of said, okay, well, I'll still do this, but let me do it in sports instead. I grew up in a sports-loving family. My dad and brother played everything.
What were the fandoms at your house?
Oh, we loved the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians. We loved the Browns and the Cavs and
that's a lot of up and down
right there. We were a big golf family.
Big golf family. So who are some of your favorite golfers?
That's a good question. I like Rory.
Oh, yeah.
We're a family that just, you know, always rooted for Tiger throughout the years. My dad actually had, I think, Wednesday or Thursday Masters tickets this year, and he sold them because he was like, oh, Tiger's not playing. If Tiger's not teeing it up, he doesn't want to go.
Wow. So has he gone before?
Oh, yeah. He's been to several.
Oh, my gosh.
I think he was at the 97 Masters when Tiger won his first.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. It's still a bucket list item for me. I'm like, Dad, when are you going to take me? I will say
one of the best airports in the country. It's this little tiny thing. I had to go there for a tournament a long time ago. But, yeah, that Augusta National Airport.
It's tiny.
Cute. There's like two little gates.
Oh, I love that.
And there's like the rocking chairs all up and down the
area.
So just sorry,
I gotta go.
Total tangent right there.
No, but
yeah,
it's
back
to
we going more towards the sports journalism route.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you kind of pursue that then?
I feel like it wasn't until I lived in Columbus, Ohio. I worked for an ABC affiliate in Columbus. And after I left there, I became a Blue Jackets cheerleader. So I got into the hockey world. Yeah. And I loved it. It was such a cool experience to be involved on game nights like that. And just the hockey environment is so exciting.
What were game days like when you, like for your
fun,
job?
Fun. Yeah. I mean, you know, you got ready, you got dressed and makeup, hair, all that good stuff. And then you get to the arena around 3:34. Mm-hmm. So I did it with another job. It wasn't like my only job,
Of course.
And, we get to the arena and then we'd prep like all of the in-game activities because we had a whole rundown of like, okay, we have to find, you know, six kids to do this activity and three adults to do this, you know, game, and making sure that we had everything planned for the in-game experience because it wasn't just cheerleading. We were trying to, you know, support the fans and do fan, you know, experience stuff too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would recommend to anyone that wants to work in sports or sports media to do that work in a game day type atmosphere, whether it's minor league team, like I was with the Boomers like a long time back. We have John Hansen here who does, he is the MC for the Blackhawks. And like, you're going to get kind of the full package experience of sports where you're doing tons of different things.
Yes. And you learn so much about what the fans appreciate and what they want. And that's a really good lens to have when then you're then doing it behind the scenes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So then when did Chicago kind of come into the picture?
I lived in Columbus for 3 years. Uh-huh. And then I knew that I wanted to pursue sports reporting again. I kind of had partially pursued it and then kind of gave it up for marketing and advertising because I do feel like the skills of someone with a journalism degree, they could transfer to marketing, PR, advertising, journalism, writing, whatever it is. So social media, now those jobs are, you know, more than prevalent everywhere.
Oh, I remember when it was called New Media.
Exactly.
When I came out of college, that's what it was. It was like, we're a new media company. I'm like, a what?
Right.
It's not going to be new after a little bit. So,
So I moved to Chicago in 2018.
Okay.
In November. And I didn't know anybody. And I was just like, you know what? It's time to start over. It's time to pursue this wholeheartedly. Uh-huh. And I just, I hired a talent development coach to kind of be like my master's in journalism. And because a lot of my experience
who was your development coach?
Her name is Jill Montgomery. Okay. And she was extremely helpful for so many years because, excuse me.
No worries.
A lot of the experience I had was writing and production.
Okay.
But as far as on camera skills, I didn't do that as much.
Uh-huh.
You know, I knew I had it, but I wanted to hone it.
Yeah.
And so I worked with her on how to ask good questions and how to interview well and how to hold the microphone and how to present yourself on camera and, you know, types of questions that coaches appreciate versus like the basic, like, how does that feel? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or tell me about
exactly
this.
Exactly. The command question.
Right,
so
working
on that, and simultaneously, I would go out and just shoot stand-ups and stories on my own.
Really?
I bought a microphone and a, you know, I hooked my iPhone up to a tripod And I would go out to, I think it was the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Okay.
It was at United Center that year. And I went out there in the cold and just like shot made up stories and like did fan interviews.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's got to take, I mean, first you're kind of breaking down some walls of like, if you're someone who gets nervous around people like that, but you want to do this thing, you're getting those reps in had to have been huge.
It was. And I knew I needed a tape to show. You know, I couldn't go to NBC Sports Chicago or WGN or anywhere and be like, well, I got nothing to show for it, really. I can produce. And they're going to be like, okay, well, how do you do on camera? So I was trying to just build up that resume on camera and just work on my craft and practice and practice and practice. And I was so, and I still am, so dedicated to that.
Yes.
And then, you know, that's when I, then CN100, which is no longer a thing.
I remember CN100,
They were the first to kind of give me a shot, as well as the Chicago Bandits, that also no longer exist. Well, I think they might be coming back, actually.
Really?
Yes,
I heard they are. That's the softball team, right?
Yes, the softball team up at Rosemont.
Right.
And they were in the NPF, the National Pro Fast Pitch League, and they...
Another reminder this podcast is going on. Sorry about that.
All good. And they gave me my first shot, and they were like, listen, we can't pay you, but you can come interview the coaches and interview the players.
Oh, cool.
And so I was like, okay, great. And then CN100 gave me like my first paid gig covering high school.
What was that first game?
High school football. Ooh, that's a good question. What game was it?
Because they did kind of like the game of the week thing, right?
Yes. And I didn't do game of the week yet. That came much later.
Yeah.
But I was doing like the highlights. You know, I'd interview the coach, and I'd track the highlights for the videographer, and... I'm trying to think what my first game was. It might have been like, gosh, I have to think about that.
Well, that's another really interesting way to kind of get into this, where you are. I mean, because high school sports out here is insane.
It's huge.
Maybe it's not Texas football necessarily, but it is. It is its own little culture, basically. And you talk to like someone at the Sun-Times, like Mike O'Brien, who like knows that as well as anybody. But what were you doing, I guess, also for work while you are working on this career at the same time? What were you doing at that
also point? I just thought of it. It was the Deerfield Warriors
Deerfield
game. I was out in Deerfield.
Oh, my goodness.
I knew it was like a red team. I think they're
so
red.
So North Shore style.
Yes.
Okay.
But I did a lot of that, and I loved it. And that was, again, moonlighting.
Yeah.
That was on the side of my full-time job. I was at a – I started here in Chicago at a marketing and social media company called DS Plus. And there, our main client was Toyota. So we did a lot of advertising and social advertising for Toyota. Now, Toyota is a big sponsor of the Cubs, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of also gave me some opportunity to do some things with the Cubs.
Very cool.
So I knew I was like still scratching that itch and on the cusp of transitioning away from marketing and into sports full time. But again, did not come for a long time. And so I'd go to work from 9 to 5 at my marketing job, and then I would leave and head to the game, wherever that was.
What's interesting about having a marketing job, marketing at any station touches almost every department, including on air and producing,
because
you're all working together. So you kind of were getting another perspective of broadcasting in that
totally
way, right?
All valuable experience.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't go the traditional path of like a small market. I was in Youngstown and I was producing, but I wasn't on air as much in a small market where you're like, okay, I'm in, you know, this small city, and then I'm going to Mississippi, and then I'm going here.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was like, you know what? Let me freelance in Chicago and just see if that works.
Yeah.
Now, it's a tough path, right? Because Chicago is a very competitive market, and I had to really build up enough experience. So I was doing pro softball, minor league baseball, Windy City Thunderbolts. I was doing radio.
Oh, the Thunderbolts. Mm-hmm. There we go.
And I was doing some CN100 high school football and high school basketball. So that was kind of like the kicking off point.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a grind.
It was.
And you didn't stop grinding either.
No.
So what was next after that?
COVID.
Oh, my goodness.
COVID was a real, you know, killer of so much, as we know. And it affected people in so many ways. But for a lot of people, it affected their careers. And
I know that as well as anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was a bummer because all of my momentum was kind of like shot. You know, I was like, oh, well, I guess all these sports are going away. I'm not going to keep making progress. And I was kind of like, maybe I should just go back into marketing. And then I worked for a marketing company called FCB Chicago at the Hancock Tower during COVID remotely. And there were no sports. And so it wasn't until they came back that I got a hold of the Big East Conference.
Okay.
And they were having their softball tournament at Rosemont up at the field there. And they were like, yeah, Casey, you know, we like your baseball experience and your softball experience. We could use you as a sideline reporter. So I was like, yes, you know, like my first like official like linear TV gig. It was going to be, I think, FS2. And I was so pumped and nervous.
Oh, of course.
And then it kind of rolled on from there. Like it was Big East thought I did a nice job there. So they brought me back for more Big East work with track and soccer and more baseball at DePaul, or softball at DePaul, excuse me. Baseball at UIC, you know, just kind of like, it helps once you do a couple gigs and you do a nice job, because everyone in the city kind of is like, oh, you know, she might be interested, or we could use her. Or like, it becomes like a word of mouth thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. And so you're kind of trying to put your best foot forward in every situation.
You're always interviewing.
Have to look at it that way, right? Like, you don't want to rub one person the wrong way who's going to say something to somebody else.
No.
I think, you know, I'm not the first person to say this. I think Lawrence Holmes has said this. Chicago is the biggest small town in the country.
Everyone knows everyone.
Everyone knows
everyone. Especially in our world.
Oh, yeah. And we all run into each other every, like, a couple months. Mm-hmm. And it's a blast when we do that.
Sure.
I love the Chicago sports media community more than anything. But so you are getting a lot of opportunities, a lot of experience in. Then you get to be a part of a new Chicago sports outlet.
Right.
And how did that all come together? I'm referring to CHGO, like, how did it all come together?
That's a great story. Again, it was my first, CHGO was my first chance to work in sports full time. You know what I mean? Like, that was when I could say, okay, I can put the marketing job to rest and say goodbye to it and work in sports full time. And it was kind of funny because I was speaking to a friend that's an agent. He's not my agent, but he's a friend of mine. And he was like, Casey, you just got to find ways to stay in it. Because I remember saying, his name is Tim. I said, Tim, I'm feeling like kind of stagnant, like I'm not making progress, I'm not, you know, finding the next thing, I'm kind of just like hitting my ceiling. And he was like, make your own thing. He texted me and he was like, we talked on the phone and he was like, make your own thing, do like a Chicago sports minute update where you're on YouTube just like telling people the news of the day they need to know. So I was like, okay, that's interesting, I could do something like that, even if no one ever sees it, it could be just for me, for practice. And so I Googled like Chicago Sports Minute, or like I was trying to find something that I could name it. And I came across my former colleague, Kevin Kadux. He had a newsletter. I forget what it was called.
It was a wildly popular one.
It was.
Because like I think most everybody in the market kind of knew about Kevin through that.
So I came across Kevin's newsletter. Sorry, Kevin, we're forgetting the name of it. But it was like something about like Chicago Sports Minute or something with like, you know, it was quick, right? And it was like the news you need to know for the day while you're having your morning coffee. And I was like, okay, this already kind of exists, but he has no digital presence. It's kind of just email. Does he need someone to help him with video? Does he need someone to help him with social media? I can be that person since I had this social and marketing background.
Oh, wow.
So I reached out to him. I DM'd him on Twitter and I was like, hi, Kevin. I know you don't know me, but you know, I saw your newsletter and I'd love to help out if you need anything, if you need any video presence or social. Just kind of laid it out.
Yeah.
And he messaged back a few days later and he said, hi, Casey. Thanks for reaching out. Your inquiry comes at a very interesting time.
Oh.
Can I get back to you in a few days?
Okay.
And I was like, what does that mean? You know, and I had since subscribed to the newsletter. And 3 days later, he writes this newsletter that it's ending, that he's moving on to a new thing and that his newsletter is ending. And I'm like, well, crap, you know, like bad timing.
Yeah.
We connect again. And he was like, listen, the reason I'm ending the newsletter is because I'm going to be managing and helping out at this new company called CHGO. And I think you could be of use there.
Wow.
So for me, CHGO was a right place, right time situation. You never know.
So how long before the launch was that?
Probably in January and the launch was in March.
That quick of a
turnaround. It was quick. Yeah, it was like 2 months.
Oh, my goodness.
So I remember I went on a ski trip and then I started at CHGO. And so so we had talked about maybe me hosting like the Cubs. But they, you know, they had Stucky and a lot of great people who already had like the following for their sport. And I didn't really have that. And so they were like, what about a producer job or the social media manager job? And I was like, okay, now we're talking.
There you go.
It lined up with my, you know, my skill set. salary needs, all it just worked. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So I had meetings with Jake Flanagan and Kevin and the CEO, Brandon. And
love Jake Flanagan, yes, who also has already had a shout out on this podcast before.
So really?
Someday, we did the Scott Chagnon episode.
And oh, yes.
All three they of us together. Had cross worked together at NBC Sports. Yes. So someday, I got to get Jake in here to talk about his story.
For sure, you
he's
should.
He's got a cool one, too. But he okay, does. So yes, so the process is going.
Yeah, right. And so it was great because Kevin could say, hey, I know this girl who wants to help out. Her name's Casey, and Jake goes, well, I know who she is because I've interviewed her before because he interviewed me at Marquee.
Oh, my.
I interviewed for a social media job at Marquee when they launched.
Okay.
And I did not work there. I didn't end up getting it. But, you know, it all kind of comes full circle, which is to our point originally, never burn a bridge.
Yeah.
You know, do your best to network with everyone.
Put a good foot forward.
Yeah.
And you were in Jake's mind at that
right.
point, too. That's
right.
awesome.
So it worked out, and I worked there for 2 great years, and I loved everybody I met at CHGO, the entire team is amazing.
It seemed like, from afar, it seemed like you got to do a lot.
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what were those conversations like where you're like, yeah, I'm going to do social media, but I'm great on air.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this and this. What was that like?
I told them that I wanted to do more on air. And
yeah.
they let me kind of help out and host be a part of the CHGO show, like our Thursday show, which
yeah.
was kind of all-encompassing. And occasionally came on and did some Cubs work and did some social, you know, on camera work. And so they trusted me in that way, which I really appreciate. It was a lot to juggle to be able to have time for all that
yeah.
and do all the social for, you know, 8 different shows. Yeah.
I bet.
the team is incredible. It's like a startup community, too. So it's all hands on deck, right? It's
right.
everybody's helping everyone and everyone's just trying to make it work. But I feel really proud that we kind of helped build it from the ground up and kind of create the landscape or the template that they would go on to have, you know, use and
yeah.
develop and change over time. But again, I still had that itch to kind of truly, truly.
Yeah. Cause you were also doing games while at CHGO,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did you balance that?
That was tough too. You know, I talked with Jake and Kevin and they were like, hey, as long as it doesn't really conflict with your work here and it's not in competition with
mm-hmm.
what you do here, it's fine. So I did a lot of college volleyball and ESPN and Loyola and DePaul and things that we didn't really do at CHGO.
Yeah.
So it worked. But it was tough. It was like a lot of like, hey, is it okay if I leave early? Or hey, is it okay if I get this done sooner and do this later? And
right.
so it's negotiation.
A little bit of give and take,
yeah.
right? But I guess from, and someone who works in digital now, there's a lot that you can do from the road,
mm-hmm.
remotely,
right.
things like that. But it being a social media job, I'm sure your phone is buzzing like crazy, right?
Totally.
When you're doing something like that.
And it was kind of like, hey, we might need you if,
yeah.
you know, God forbid somebody dies or
right.
if something crazy happens breaking
news. You have to have the
yeah.
graphics ready
right.
and all that stuff, right?
Right.
Like, just to take a little bit of a step back,
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about doing work for ESPN and other places,
mm-hmm.
how did those opportunities come about? Like who reaches
yeah.
out to who? How does that happen?
It's kind of like I said, it was kind of word of mouth where
yeah.
they'd be like, Loyola would call me and be like, hey, Casey, we do our games on ESPN Plus. We heard you do DePaul. Would you like to do these? You know,
mm-hmm.
or it was Northern Illinois and they were like, hey, we're looking for a female analyst for our women's basketball games. Are you interested? Or I would reach out and say,
yeah.
hey, I do this and this. If you ever need anyone, let me know. And so it was kind of a mixture of like, me reaching out and also
those are a lot of skill sets right there.
Thanks.
The
yeah.
That's so impressive.
I truly believe that most of the great gigs that I've gotten, it's because I've gone out of my way to reach out and just ask.
Mm-hmm.
Like this past fall, I worked with Illinois football.
Yeah. How was that?
It was amazing. The whole team is great there. Brett Bielema.
And what
awesome.
A great team to follow.
It was
too.
An awesome season.
Yeah.
Great time to be a part of that. And I was just like, again, I was like, I got to do something in college football. If
mm-hmm.
I want places like Big Ten Network or other college networks to take me seriously, I gotta get into Big Ten football.
Yeah.
And so one day I was walking my dog and I just randomly decided to call Illinois. I literally cold called Brett Moore. Is
really?
His name. Yeah. I called and I said, hi, I know you're, you know, in charge of communications for football. I don't know if you have someone that's kind of like a reporter or a digital host, but I would love to be that if you need someone. And he said, you know, we don't have anyone, but we have been sort of looking for that person. We haven't
wow.
found the right person. Send me your stuff and we'll get back to you. And it worked. And so it truly, like, same thing with Eastern Illinois. I called and said, do you have anyone doing your games on the sideline? And they said, no, but we'd be willing if you have a pitch.
These are not close places either.
No.
So you are driving 2.5 hours mm-hmm. to these places. You got to tell me what that's like. I'm sorry to say but
no, it's okay.
What is that like you've got this gig here, you got to drive down to Illinois mm-hmm. to do this, you're going to Eastern here, and then you have like DePaul too at the same time.
Right. It's a lot.
It's a lot, but how are you doing it is what I'm asking.
I think it's a lot of like driving sometimes I take the Amtrak to Champaign, which is great because I could prep
yeah.
and get ready on the train, and it drops me off right near the stadium, and then I get back on at the end of the night. And so it just depends. But I've just had a lot of cool people in my corner that are like, yeah, I can pick you up from the train station, or yeah, you can park here.
Nice.
Or, you know, just like working that out ahead of time. It's not for the faint of heart.
I bet. Well, did you know anyone else that had been doing things like that? Maybe that may have shared some advice on what to do.
That's
like
a good question. Yeah. Yes and no.
Because you're kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah.
I've had people that have been like, hey, you know, like even like my coach at one point, she was like, by any means necessary, like just get there.
Yeah.
Do it. Drive there. Other people in my industry in the same spot as me were like, yeah, I drive 2 hours to go cover this game, or I drive to Michigan to go cover this game. And mm-hmm. If it's worth it to you and the pay is enough and you think the experience is going to be helpful, then do it. Then do it. Especially when you're in a place of trying to grow and build your reel.
Yeah.
You kind of have to say yes to everything, you know?
Yeah, I know that as well.
Yeah, I think as we progress, we could start to say no, or this doesn't work for my schedule, or I'm sorry, I'm giving it to someone who might need the experience more than me.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting into that place right now. I still say yes to a lot of things.
like this, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, I would do this any day. I love this. But yeah, it's interesting because I just kind of like was like, because you never know what gig is going to catapult you to the next gig mm-hmm. or who's listening or who's watching.
Yeah.
Right? So you never know if, like, you're doing an Eastern Illinois game and you think, okay, it's just on ESPN Plus and it's FCS football and does anyone even care? But you're becoming better at your craft
yes.
because you're getting the experience.
Right.
And you never know who's paying attention or who you might meet down there. I mean, that's the school where Tony Romo went.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
Sean
true.
Payton. So, I mean, you just never know. And so I was always of the mindset of like, just go do it.
Mm-hmm. What are some skills you feel like you've picked up along the way here? Or like, and you know, part two of that question, maybe ways that you have grown mm-hmm. over this time. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you say that?
That's such a good question.
I feel like this is like a job interview and I don't
okay. I have learned, that nothing is handed to you in this career, especially in a city like Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go out and put in the work. And when you think you're ready, you're still probably not ready.
It's
you
true.
Know, I used to be like, well, why can't I do this now? Right. I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that gig or that person's job. And it's like, no, it comes at the right time. It comes when you are truly ready. And even if you're not quite ready, you'll be ready in the moment. Right. Like you just have to go do it.
Yeah.
My boyfriend always says he's a football coach, and he always says like it takes bravery and guts to put yourself in the arena.
Yeah,
because I'll be scared before some gigs. I'm like, oh, this is too big for me. I don't know. Like, and he was like, I'm applying for a job, and I'm like, I don't know. There's so many great people that are candidates, and he was like, remember, Case, it takes guts to put yourself in the arena.
I mean, he's got a great point there. Mm-hmm. It is like the life of a pro athlete,
right?
The way you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But even like. I feel like even more stressful, to be honest.
Yeah.
You talk about it. But I think there's also this understanding, too, of like, you know, that other people in other positions, they pay dues to get to where they
are. For sure.
They kind of have similar experience to you. And I come mm-hmm. back to the Chicago sports media community where everyone kind of understands that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, say someone loses a job, you'll see 300 people come to that person's aid to say, mm-hmm. hey, I know what this feels like here. If you need anything, let me know.
And to vouch for them and their character,
you,
right?
All know, and because that's how we all get to know each other in that way. So then your career is moving along. And then how does NBC Chicago come along?
This is more recent, right? We're getting to like recent day.
I feel like I fast forwarded here, but
no,
I'm
it's
just
good.
Curious. Yeah.
And truly that's fair. And It was probably last fall. As you know, we all know each other in this industry. And yeah. I kind of had heard that, you know, the CHSN rumblings were happening, and I was kind of learning who was going to be heading over there.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, there's going to be an opening at NBC Chicago because they're losing some people. And then there were two openings. And so I was like, well, they definitely are going to need some help, right?
Yeah.
And so I connected with another agent who is my now agent. And he was like, hey, Case, I know we haven't talked in a while, but maybe I could help you with this gig. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, because I've been trying to get in there myself, too. And I had sent some emails. And as you know, like when things are changing, they're moving really slow.
Yes.
Right.
Very much so.
So I knew that NBC Sports Chicago was going away. It was going to be CHSN. People were moving over. People were losing their jobs. And that there might be a need for a reporter at NBC Chicago in the sports department. And so Dean and I connected with the folks over at NBC Chicago, and he's my agent. And
yeah. Feel free to shout out agents. We
Dean,
need to.
Yeah,
we,
Dean.
We don't do
we
that
love
enough
you,
right.
Dean.
Exactly.
And he was someone who kind of always believed in me, and he was like, you know, I think I can help you get a gig at that next level. Because I had been operating without an agent for a long time. And I'm proud of that, because it was kind of like, okay, if I can do it on my own,
right,
then I can do it on my own.
It's a very DIY mentality,
right?
So I guess a little bit of a pause here. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between doing it yourself and then doing it with an agent? Like,
yeah, you have to be your own best advocate.
Yeah.
And I still believe that I am, even with an agent.
Yeah.
And he has been so helpful. But at the end of the day, it's like, I'm the one that can present myself and say, and pick up the phone to cold call,
right,
and vouch for me and, you know, put myself out there and show my work. But I do think that agents are necessary as on-air talent, whether you're in radio or, you know, whatever it might be, because they know about jobs before you know they're open. They know about things that aren't posted. And so they are helpful in that way when you're ready for one.
Right. And they probably know who to put you in front of,
right?
Like, because I think that's a huge part. Mm-hmm. A lot of the jobs I've gotten over the years, very different jobs, but are just knowing the right person, talking to the right person,
yes,
being recommended by somebody.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're not lost in the resumes, you're not lost
for sure
in the applications online.
Right.
And
that comes down to good networking.
Yes.
You know,
very
and
much
so I was doing that as well, but and networking with agents too, to find one that really aligned with my goals and my vision for my career. And so within a couple of weeks after we had talked and I had sent some emails to NBC, I had an audition.
Okay.
And
who reached out? I need to, because I know a couple
so
people.
I was auditioning with Eric Strobel, who is my now boss.
Eric Strobel.
Eric's my boss.
Wow. First shout out for Eric Strobel. I love Eric Strobel.
He's the best.
We were a part of the Cubs content team over at NBC
yes,
Sports Chicago.
He's so great. I'll see him in a few hours.
Okay. Tell him I say hi.
I will. Okay. And also John Shipman. So Ship was a part of that as well.
Very
so
cool.
The two of them there. And this was in like November or December. It's all kind of blurry now,
okay,
but it was at the end of last year. And I came into audition and I was so nervous, but I was excited. You know,
yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm in the room now. I'm in the door. Like, this is the domino that has to fall, right? And so I kind of wrote my own sports block based on the stories they had in mind, kind of rewrote everything, did my thing. And then I went up there and I anchored it. And, you know, a lot of my experience was live sideline reporting.
Yeah.
So anchoring in the studio is not totally new to me, but newer to me.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh gosh. I
different
have to, like,
muscles,
yeah,
right? Okay.
You're reading off a prompter and the prompter's AI voice activated. So you're trying to make sure it doesn't move too quickly.
Wow.
And it's a lot going on, right?
Yeah.
And you want to present well. And so I auditioned and I felt pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm.
I called my agent after and I was like, I think that was like a 98%. And he's like, well, that's good. And so I was like, it wasn't perfect, but I think it was good.
Uh-huh.
And then I waited and waited and waited and time went by and I'm kind of an anxious person. So I was like, oh my God, I didn't get it. You know, like I'm like, oh, I must not have gotten it. It's been too long. Like maybe they pick someone else. That's fine. I just want to know. And my agent was reaching out to John and Eric and kind of trying to find out. And then, you know, right, I think it was in late December, John said, hey, I'd like to move forward with Casey. Let's do this. So
All
he let
right.
my agent know and I was in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it's been a great team over there. I work with.
Knowing that that's your team, I had no idea that those guys were even there.
Yeah.
Well, now I know that there is basically an Avengers team over there with you and these guys. That's really cool.
Yes. It's Mike Berman is fantastic. Our producers, Shannon and Ken and Saul, are great. Eric Strobel and the team is just awesome. So I'm really lucky.
What is day-to-day like for you over there?
Yeah. So I'll go in after this podcast, actually.
Uh-huh.
And I will kind of prep the day. I'll talk with my producer and say, okay, we know we have Cubs tonight. We know we have Sox. We know Blackhawks play tomorrow. We know Bulls host the Raptors tonight. Yeah. And we're kind of laying out like what we want to cover and in what order.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kind of go to work on writing. And I write a lot of my own stories and my own scripts, and we decide what video we want to use or what highlights we're ready to use and how we're going to change the show from the 5 to the 6 because they come pretty quickly after one another.
Yeah.
And so we kind of get that ready, and then I go make sure everything, you know, looks good. I'm all mic'd up and have my IFB in, and then I do the sports at the end of the, you know, the D block and the news.
Oh my goodness.
And working with Stephen Holt and Allison Rosati has been awesome. They're amazing. Again, it's just like, it's surreal, and it's really cool to get to do it. And then I work the 6 o'clock show, and then we have kind of a big break until the 10. So you eat dinner, you decide what kind of fun stories you want to do at 10 that might be different. You watch whatever game's on.
Uh-huh.
And other days I might go out and report. Like, I work a lot with my photographer, Matt Byrne, and Matt and I will go shoot, you know, a story at Northwestern about a swimmer, or a story about, you know, golf, women that are going to Augusta.
So
amateur.
Those stories, how are you finding those stories, or how are you seeking out those stories?
So a lot of things are like I just have wanted to do for a while. And like, oh, I've had this story about, you know, the Mount Carmel like boxing fight night that they do every April, and like how they have it in the old gym that's been in movies. So I've always kind of like, I have like a list of stories that I'm kind of working on
that
separately.
That is a good pull right there, by the way.
Yeah.
Very cool.
So there's like that. And then there's the things that people send us. Like Northwestern will send a press release and say, hey, we have two female golfers heading to Augusta for the, for the, you know, the pro-am. And we're like, okay, let's go do a story about them for Women's History Month, or, you know, and just kind of finding what works for our schedule. We are working on a story where we're talking about, and it's been done before, but kind of the transition from the ice at the United Center to court, and how they, how the team does that so quickly.
It's always one of the coolest, what is the capture of it? Like
the time lapse.
I was lost my train of thought there, but yeah, the time lapse is always cool, but getting the story of it is even cooler.
And we talked to a guy named Scott who's been doing that for like 30 years.
Oh my
goodness. He was there for Jordan and all the Hawks championships. And
so the very beginning of the United Center, basically.
He has been there, and he has all these great stories about how quickly they do it and how much team, you know, members it takes. And he told us that, you know, one way is actually faster than the other. And so it's cool to watch it happen in like 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've kind of answered this question in a few ways already, but I want to pose it again because this is how we wrap up each of our episodes. For someone who is interested in what you do, wants to do what you do, what advice do you have for them? And our show is kind of for a young person who wants to get into this business, or someone who, you know, is doing something completely different and is like, I would love a career change. What kind of advice do you have for that person?
Start now, right? Like, start whenever. There is no perfect time. There isn't. I restarted my whole career at basically 27, 28.
Yeah.
So it's never too late. Believe in yourself. And I would say, understand the importance of networking and maintaining those relationships, not just reaching out once and asking for advice and then being like, okay, bye, but maintaining those relationships, emailing those people every 6 months to a year, not being annoying, because I think there is a fine line, right? And just being a relationship builder, going after what you want. And I would say to a young person pursuing this, there's no cookie cutter way in.
No.
It's not like being a doctor or a teacher where you go to school and you get the experience and the residency and then you're a doctor, right? It's a little bit different. and I'm not discrediting what doctors do.
No,
but
no, of course.
There's so many ways in, especially now. Yeah. You could be doing it on TikTok. You could do it on YouTube. You can be going to a local market and mm-hmm. getting experience as a reporter and an MMJ. You could be doing it from your living room. You could be doing it on the radio.
Right.
You could. There are so many ways into this business. There are marketing jobs. You could work for Gatorade. You could work for Nike. You could work whatever.
Yeah.
Right? A team. You could be on the team side, on the sales side. Say yes to as many things as possible because you never really know what you're going to love. Like, I didn't think I would like producing.
Yeah.
But there's something so cool about being in charge and being the boss of the show, right?
Right, right.
Getting to call the shots. So do a little bit of everything because, one, you never know what you're going to love, and, two, you never know who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
A lot of the gigs that I've gotten, like I said earlier, have been because somebody I met at that gig said, oh, you know, we do this. Would you be interested in this? Or I'll connect you to this person. And then that's like a chain reaction.
Yeah.
So you're always interviewing. Always try to put your best foot forward. I know people have bad days, but just try to do your best at every gig, even if you're just holding a grip or a microphone or whatever. You're just, you know, helping out behind the scenes. Like, every part of the business matters.
Right.
And it helps everybody else do their job well.
Those experiences that you may not think matter are going to matter down the road.
They do.
Or they matter to somebody else.
Yes.
When you're doing it, right?
Yes. So, someone's watching, right?
Someone's watching.
Yeah.
Someone's
so
watching.
That's a lot of advice, but I'm always
that's
open to talk to students, and a lot of people reach out to me on LinkedIn and ask about, you know, my career and advice I have. So I'm always happy to help.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, Casey, thank you so much
of
for
course.
Coming and doing
thank
this.
Thank you.
And thanks to Career Vision for their support. Until next time, I'm Michael Piff, and you're listening to Career Vision Podcast.